This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Clearwater for Philly spring training. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Joining us now, the great Larry Boa. We appreciate you coming up here, spending some time with us today, my friend.
LB.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
How are we doing?
Good so far.
So can you tell, it's early, right? Can you tell how a season's going to go in some way based on not the performance of the players, but I guess the attitude of the players in spring training?
Yeah, I think we can. I think you can judge people. Last year in particular, these guys were very upset about losing, and this year it's even worse. The last 2 years, nothing against the Mets, nothing against Arizona. Those are two teams that, on paper, I know you don't win games on paper. You have to beat those two teams, and we didn't do it. There's no excuse for it. We didn't play good. We didn't pitch good. And when you get in the playoffs, you got to execute. You're not winning 8-7 or 2-1, 3-2 games. And we came up short both years. And I think this year, these guys know that that window is not going to be open a long, long time. And it's a good team. All stars almost at every position. Pitching's solid. We got to quit talking about it and do it. We can sit here and talk about all we should have, could have. We got to go out and do it. We got to go deep into the playoffs. If we don't go deep into the playoffs, I consider that a bad year.
What do you think? It seems like the players said, you know, right around the middle of June, for the rest of the year, team was pretty much 500-ish, below 500. And they talked about sort of losing whatever it was at the beginning of the year and not being able to find it back. Like, what do you think happened? And do you think how, when a team loses it the way they did and the way that they came out, how do you go about finding that?
I think each guy's got to take a look in the mirror, to be honest with you. You know, you got to evaluate. We can point fingers at missed calls or we didn't get a break. When you get in the playoffs, you got to make your own breaks, and we haven't done that. The talent is there to do it, but like I said, you can't talk about it all the time. You got to go out and do it, and we've done enough talking, I think. I like this makeup of this team. I like the manager. I like the coaches. I love the rotation. It's a real deep rotation. We have a tendency sometimes to play down to people we're playing. You can't do that. I don't care who you're playing. You got to go out there every night and leave it out there. Whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing the Dodgers, the mindset's got to be, what can we do to beat this team tonight? And for some reason, it seems like the second half we sort of played down to our opposition. You can't do that. And all of a sudden now you're in the playoffs and you think that switch is going to go on. It doesn't go on. You got to keep that momentum going. And, again, we haven't done that.
As a player, as a manager, how do you sort of balance or navigate the the length of the season, right? Guys, the guys, they start off hot, they play well early, and then eventually people will say, well, it's still early, you got to be able to do it late. But I mean, as a player, as a manager, you want to get off to a hot start, right? You don't want to get off to a slow start, but at the same time, you want to be playing your best baseball late in the season.
No question. And to me, we can sit here and talk about how long the season is. This is a grind. Mm-hmm. It's a grind to play 162 games. And to me, the physical ability's there. Mentally, you got to say, hey, man, when you're training in November and December and January, you're not training for opening day until the All-Star break. You're training until from the first pitch, and hopefully you're the last team standing. And it's a grind. And you got to be mentally tough to play this game. And I just think we've had spurts where things haven't gone right, and that's when you got to dig deep down. You got to get in there and dig and find a way. You got to find a way to do it. And there's, like I said, if we only had two or three guys that were real good, that's a good lineup. That's deep. Like I said, we got all stars everywhere. But the consistent, I'm looking for more consistency. Game one through, I don't even want to say game 162. I want to say through the playoffs.
Yeah.
And until we do that, hopefully we don't have to go through what we did the last 2 years. It makes it for a long winter. You sit down, man, how'd we get eliminated so quick? Too much talent, way too much.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show. We're in Clearwater. Larry Boa with us now here at Philly Spring Training. You, fiery as a player, fiery as a manager. Now we don't see what's in the clubhouse, right? But when we watch the Phillies, it seems like it is a sort of comfortable, laid-back bunch. They get along. They support each other. Do you think that there is somebody there? And do you think a team needs somebody or a couple of somebodies to be sort of that wild card or a hothead or somebody to shake things up every once in a while?
I think they have the people in that club. I really do. Schwarber's a great leader.
Yep.
JT, you know, Harp. I mean, we can sit there and say we need somebody. I mean, John Middleton, I don't know much more what he can do.
Right.
He's given the city, he's given the Phillies a great talent out there. I don't believe that we need a guy in there to stir it up. I think guys got to take it within themselves to say, hey, this is unacceptable the way this stuff's ended.
Yeah.
And I do hear guys talk about how disappointed they were, which to me that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I get tired of hearing just flush it away. Mm-hmm. I'm not even playing. I can't flush it away. I'm not even playing. I'm looking back at last year and the year before, and I'm going, man, this shouldn't how this should end. I think mentally they know they got to get to another place.
Jack's out there shooting hot dogs at us, LB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they stole Jack, and he's riding around with the Fanatics shooting hot dogs.
Today's not a good day to pitch. That wind
is
howling out here right now.
Yeah.
No, I think we have the ingredients to win. I really do. I love our pitching staff. I really do. And Lizardo, I think Dave did a great job getting him. This guy's lights out. Sanchez is pitching like a one. Wheeler had a bad outing today, but he's been pitching lights out. Nola, we know. Ranger. There's five good starters. And we got Walker who's throwing the ball well. So you're never going to go through the season with five pitchers. I mean, you'd like to.
Yep.
You always end up using 8, 9, maybe 10 through the course of the season. So the depth's there, the bullpen's there. Like I said, we got to go out and do it.
Let me ask you about Bryson Stott. A couple years ago, man, he looked like he was on a trajectory. He could be an all-star second baseman type of player, top of your lineup type of hitter. A little bit of a step back last year. Would you believe, though, the talent is still there and he can get back to being where he was a couple years ago?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think he's going to have a real good year.
Yeah.
You know, people, I know you've read some articles where his elbow was messed up a little bit. And when you play every day, he goes out there, he posts every day. So what happens is you get into some bad habits to protect the pain you have in the arm. And I think he developed some bad habits at the plate. He's swinging the bat good down here. I expect him to have a big-time bounce back here. He's my pick to click as far as rebounding. I like the way he's going about his business right now. But yeah, I think it was an off year for him, and he'll be the first to tell you he wasn't satisfied with the way the year went last year, especially offensively.
Larry Bowa with us here at Philly Spring Training in Clearwater. Let's stay in the middle of the infield with Trey. So, you know, both defensively and offensively, Trey mentioned that, he thought he had an improvement last year defensively, and there's still more there. So I guess a two-part question. First, do you feel like there still more is there for Trey as a shortstop defensively? And do you think him moving to the leadoff spot will be good for him as a hitter? It seems like occasionally he gets a little home run happy, and he can't be that way as the leadoff hitter. So defensively and offensively, what are you looking for from Trey this year?
In answer to defensively, I think there are definitely more there.
Yep.
I will say this, not to protect Trey or anything. I think the fielding stats are the most flawed stats in baseball. There's three different categories out there. And I look at some of these guys that are ranked ahead of certain guys on our team, and I scratch my head. And I don't even look at that stuff defensively. But he's definitely improved over when we first got him. Offensively, I think he could hit anywhere in the lineup. First, second, third. He's a force offensively. If he bats leadoff, his goal should be, I want to score 100 runs. Forget everything else. If he scores 100 runs and bats first, we're going to win a lot of games. You hit him second, I think he's got a real good chance of being a very good second hitter. You could hit him third. He's that kind of athlete. I do expect him to steal more. I know last year he shut it down a little bit because he pulled his hamstring. He was afraid he was going to hurt it again. We need him to be active on the base pass. He's very capable of stealing 50 or 60 bases, especially with the new rules. Throwing over there twice, if you don't get him the third time, it's a balk. I think he can create a lot of havoc on the bases. He's an MVP-type player. We got him. We got Harper, that MVP-type player. Schwarber. That's what I'm saying. If you go right around that field, you scratch your head when you say, man, we shouldn't be home that early. And, again, I hope that last year left a scar on these guys' minds a little bit, and they're ready to go. I feel the atmosphere's a little different. They talk about it a little bit more. But again, we could talk about it all we want. We got to go out and do it.
You mentioned, you know, a Trey could hit first, second, third. There's been a lot of talk in the offseason, at least in the media, about the lineup and where guys are hitting. Does it matter as a hitter where you are? It seems important for some of the guys to hit in certain spots. How much does it matter for a hitter where you're hitting, if you're hitting second or fifth or wherever you are?
I think it matters, knowing where you're going to hit every day, who's hitting in front of you, who's hitting behind you, how pitchers are going to dictate get to you. I mean, if Trey's on base a lot, obviously pitchers don't want him stealing. Hitters probably get more fastballs to hit.
Yep.
Afraid to throw breaking balls because if it goes in the dirt, he's going to be down there. I think it's important. And guys like to hit a certain place in the lineup. They like to know, hey, I'm hitting second or I'm hitting first. You know, people talk about, well, you got to move Schwarber out of the one hole. I mean, we've won a lot of games with Schwarber bat first.
Right.
And I don't know what Thompson's going to do. I know he's experimenting. I mean, today he's got Schwarber hitting fourth. He had Trey leading off and Harp hitting second. There's a lot of flexibility in that lineup. That's another good sign. You can back these guys anywhere you want. It's a potent lineup, 1 through 9.
How does, as a manager, how do you weigh in your mind, I think it's best for the team if player X is hitting here, but he's more comfortable hitting over here. How do you go about figuring that jigsaw puzzle out?
I think we have veteran players out there that, if you call them in, and Thompson's great at communicating, he doesn't leave anybody hanging. He tells you exactly what he's thinking. I think whatever lineup he decides to go with, and he calls player X in and says, here, we're doing this year, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I really don't. Maybe you might have a little feedback, but the way he communicates with his players, as long as they know where they're hitting, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I really don't.
So just a couple things on pitching, because the two guys you mentioned were the two guys I wanted to ask about, Chris Sanchez and Jesus Luzardo. This is the first year we're seeing Luzardo. So Jack Fritz, who's out shooting hot dogs with the Fanatic right now, was very excited about him and his stuff and his potential. And it seems like he's thrown great this year. If you're a Phillies fan who has never seen Jesus Luzardo, what can they expect to see from him? What kind of pitcher is he?
He's legit. He's top of the order rotation guy. He might be the fourth or fifth starter. But he's top of the rotation, stuff-wise. He was throwing 97 the other day with an unbelievable breaking ball. Great command, good athlete, feels his position. That was a great trade that we made. If he's healthy, that, you know, the whole thing with our pitching, we got to be healthy. And I don't think you're going to get five starters, like I said earlier, all year. If they go on the IL once for 2 weeks, not a big deal. We got to keep those guys off the IL for 6 to 8 weeks. But Lizardo, he could be a 1, 2, or 3 in any rotation. And the way he's throwing down here, I was shocked at his velocity. It was 897. Sanchez the other day was 97. Sanchez, again, this guy's come out of nowhere. Walker's throwing the ball good. And we know what Nola and Wheels can do. Ranger, this is his walk year. You know, as you guys know, when a guy has a walk year,
yeah,
for some reason they have a tendency to turn it up a notch.
Yep. For some reason, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I wonder what that
I think
is.
It's that green stuff. So,
yeah.
But I expect those, barring injuries, those five guys, I don't see anybody better. I know people talk about the Dodgers, they got all that depth. I'll take these five starters over a lot of teams in baseball.
Well, I mean, you're talking about top of the rotation guys. The just taking the first half we saw from Ranger last year, what we know we've seen out of Sanchez, what you said about Lizardo, what we know we've seen out of Wheeler and Nola, we're talking about five guys who are one or two starters.
They are.
You know, and
they're not four or fives. They're,
no.
Yeah. All of them could pitch one or two at a rotation, especially if they're off this ball. If they're not on the Phillies, they'd be top of the rotation. To me, that's a big strength for us, our starting pitching. Now, on the other side of the coin, we got sinker ball pitchers, except for Wheeler probably. We got to catch a ball.
Yeah.
We got to make plays that are outs. We can't give teams 32, 33 outs a game. That's not going to get it. And we're really stressing pitching and defense. We know guys are going to hit. There's guys on that team that are going to hit. But we need the pitching and defense. I think that should be our mantra as we continue on in 2025 here.
Well, I got one question for you, LB. Golf swing. Have you got a chance to work on it down here?
This is important.
I don't know where my golf swing went.
Oh, no.
I was on top of my game last year. I said, damn.
Yeah.
This year, I might have to go down in AAA or AA and work on my game a little bit. It was bad. It was really bad. I mean, everyone's talking about every time I get up, don't forget about that hole-in-one. I said, I'm just trying to find
this
ball right now.
Well, I guarantee you it's better than my golf swing, so I ain't worried about that.
The only thing is now I take it with a grain of salt. I used to get mad. That game's too hard.
Right?
Go out and have fun, man.
Well, I'll be honest. Your the beginning of this, when you said these guys are, for lack of a better word, pissed off and they know what happened last year, it's a good sign, because when we were down here last year, I think we felt from them the importance of getting off to a hot start, and they felt offended by what happened the year before. And them bringing that into this year, maybe not the hot start as much as, you know, it's like do or die.
It is.
You know, for these guys.
It reminds me a lot of our team, 76, 77, 78. We were winning. We kept coming up short against the Big Red Machine and the Dodgers. And I remember it like it was yesterday that Rudy Carpenter got the core guys together, and he was a great owner. And he loved every one of us, and he said, if we don't go deep this year, he's going to have to break this team up. Now, that hasn't happened here, but he sort of got our attention before we took the field in 80. And that was on our mind the whole year, because we came up together. We won, learned how to win together. We learned how to lose together. But we kept coming in out up short. And he basically said, if we don't go deep, he's going to break this team up. And I'm not saying that motivated us, but it was on our mind. And I think these guys are thinking about the last 3 years. I'll give you the first year. Houston,
right.
I think Houston was a better team than us.
Yep.
But the last two, I can't believe those two teams are better than us.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you, man. We're looking forward to the season. And, you know, this is a team that's been – World Series, LCS, you know, like this
I'm going to be disappointed if this team don't go deep.
There we go.
And I like every one of those guys. I respect every one of them. And I think they'll be the first to tell you if we don't go deep, they're going to be very disappointed. So hopefully we can get this thing going and follow the Eagles down Broad Street.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I wouldn't mind two parades in 1 year, my friend.
Well, in 80 we had all four teams go to the finals. Finally the Phillies won. Hopefully the Eagles are setting the precedent now and we can follow down Broad Street with them.
And most important,
the Sixers will not be following.
No, probably not. Not this year. Well, most importantly, good luck on the golf swing. We hope you find it.
Yeah. I'll sacrifice the golf swing for another parade.
That's a team guy right there. That's a team guy. We thank you so much for joining us.
Enjoy the weather down here.
We will. Okay. I promise you we will. There is Larry Boa. We are at Philly Spring Training down here in Clearwater. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Do you like the Eagles giving the Saquon Barkley a contract extension? 88% say yes.
Yes.
But I like it. But
it still caught me off guard, though.
It's a deeper question than do you. Of course, everybody likes everything right now, you know. But $36 million guaranteed. That's a lot, you know. I got to hear more about the cap. And by the way, Elliot will join us in about 10 minutes.
Get those numbers together, E.
Yeah, come on, Elliot.
Do some work.
Here's where something can't be right. We threw those numbers out there.
Yeah.
It was 26 guaranteed on the first deal.
Yes.
It's 36 there.
Yes. So it's 52 guaranteed total.
$52 million guaranteed to a running back.
Is that new money? It has to be.
Dude, if Elliot does not have every single detail when we talk to him at 3 o'clock.
Because he's supposed to be a GM, right? He's supposed to be.
Well,
he can do this.
He could be a good GM right now.
Like we hypothesized, he would just say, do the Howie thing.
Yes, and Howie better do the Howie thing with this one. Because I really.
It should free up money this year. As long as it frees up money this year where they can use it for next year's team, I guess it makes sense. But I don't know if that's the case.
How's it going to free up money?
Well, the money,
I don't know.
The money aspect of it, I'm not worried about. I'm too dumb to question Howie about the cap. So, yeah, I'm assuming Howie's not putting us in cap hell. He hasn't done it before, right? He's never done that.
Well, what we'll be telling, we'll get the details from Elliot in 10 minutes. What we'll be telling will be the rest of this offseason. It'll be the Zach Bond.
It's great that you signed Saquon. Okay, can we get some of the other guys signed too?
And truthfully, I don't think, you know, the idea of Myles Garrett is fun, but none of us are counting on that. We're all counting on Josh Sweat leaving. We're all counting on Milton Williams leaving. The question to me is, are they able to sign Bond? Are they able to sign Becton? Yeah. Are they able to extend Juergens like we think they will? And who's a cap casualty because of this? Is it Dallas Goedert? Where does this land? So we will get the details of that next with Elliot Shore Parks. We are down here in Clearwater for Phillies spring training. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Reese, Spike Eskin, and Jack Fritz.